You are listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We believe that Jesus came to set you free and nothing can cancel the truth of God's word. Now here's your host, the youth pastor of Impact Youth at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, Pastor Joey Santora.
What is going on, Uncanceled? How are you guys doing? Thank you so much for tuning in.
It was smooth.
It was not too much.
It wasn't too harsh.
No, it wasn't too harsh. Thanks so much for tuning in. Happy you guys are here. Quick shout out to Kyla and Giselle. They're sitting in the audience right now. Yeah, you can say something. Oh, yes. Yeah. You definitely picked that up.
Oh, yeah. That's in there.
But yeah, they're just here because we're gonna give them the crumble cookie when we're done. So, so happy to be here with you guys. Stay excited. Ben's actually gonna be joining me today on the podcast. We're gonna be talking about something that he is very passionate about, and I also have some passion about the topic as well. But before we do that, oddly enough,
yeah,
it is time to rate that crumble cookie. Here we go. All right, bro.
Check those
flavors. I will check those flavors.
See what Giselle he can do.
On the way here was like, oh, what crumble cookie do you have today? And I was like, I don't know. She's like, what flavors is it? I was like, do not tell me because, time out.
Oh, yes.
The afterlife cake. All right. I can already like start to get, ooh, dude, this was a little bit of a tough week.
It was a choice.
You didn't get the banana bread for the same, like those types banana of stuff. Bread. Like you're not going to get a cake because you want it. You're trying to keep a cookie.
It's not rate that crumble cake.
It's not rate that crumble cake. So it's not the afterlife cake or the banana bread. Churro is a really good option. Strawberry shortcake cookie, triple chocolate chip. I kind of feel like I don't need to think too hard about this one. I really think you got the churro cookie, and I'm going to lock that in.
Oh, it's locked in.
I feel pretty confident about that.
He's two in a row.
Let's go, bro. Let's go, baby. That was two in a row. I was, for you guys, I don't know if you guys know this. I was one for four to like start out. Yeah. I kept missing. I hit that one so quick. I just knew it. Why would you not get the churro one? You're not getting strawberry shortcake. That's a grandma cookie a little bit. That's kind of back to that, right?
I wasn't thinking that it was a grandma cookie.
It's not even strawberry shortcake. Bro, what is that gelatinous stuff that's on top of that? Strawberry shortcake cookie.
It kind of weirded me out a little bit. And then last week we had a chocolate one. So
yeah, you're not going to get triple chocolate
this
chip.
This week screamed churro.
Churro. It just is. The afterlife cake actually sounds pretty good. I'm not going to lie to you. I'll be honest with you. It sounds pretty good to me. Yeah, anyway. Right. All right, here we go. Let's try it out. Yeah, you have a little forky.
I do. It's pretty crumbly, which it should be.
It is called crumble cookie.
I don't want it to fall off my fork.
Oh my gosh, this smells amazing. All right, let's go.
Ma'am, it's crazy with just a little bite of a sweet can do for you.
This is amazing.
That was really good.
Oh my gosh. Bro, what?
That's really good. It tastes like a Costco churro.
Dude, it's better than that.
Yeah, it's just like
this is amazing.
That was really good.
And I'm not even gassing it up. You guys know I've been hard on crumble cookie a couple of times on
this
thing.
It's really good, man. It's a whole different class, right? Because last week was like the s'mores one, and that's like your typical like chocolate, whatever, like sweet kind of cookie. And this is just totally different because this is sweet, but it's cinnamon. I don't know what's funny, Giselle, but like this is just a cinnamon.
A cinnamon explosion in my mouth. That's what it is.
It's a cinnamon delight.
This is like, it's like, I'm kind of getting like Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but like better.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, man, it's so good. Ugh. And it's like, dude, I'm sorry. Like, it's sweet, but like in the best way possible.
Oh, it's sweet. It's got the sweetness.
Oh, and it's cinnamon. Like, the cinnamon hits you. Because something I don't like is it's like, oh, cinnamon churro. And then I bite into it and it's like vanilla. Mm. you know, like vanilla with a hint of cinnamon. It's not that at all. No. It is cinnamon to the max. This is awesome. You need to go and get it today. It is so good.
You only got a few more days this week to get this one.
All right, I'm ready. I have my rating. Ready? It's
yeah, I'm ready.
It's out of 10, just so you guys know.
I'm ready.
All right, ready? 3, 2, 1,
9 and a half. What?
It's so good.
You can't do that.
Yes, I can.
Wow.
I don't care that I gave... I'm saying it. Flavor profile. I kind of like this equal to s'mores. This is so good. What do you not like? Go ahead. Tell me why it's 9.5. Tell me.
It's great, but I'm like, there's flavors that I like more. So like, hey, you know, your podcast.
Our segment, all right?
I'm just playing. No, I mean, hey, man, if that's how you feel.
Dog, I like this enough that, like, if I find out that this flavor is back, I would, like, go and get it. I'll be honest with you. If the s'mores flavor was back, I would be like, oh, yeah, like, I would like to go get it or whatever. If this one came back, I'd be there.
Wow.
This is great.
That's strong.
Man, I'm supposed to be saving my voice right now. Listen, this is not working.
I mean, I gave it a 9.5. Like, it's phenomenal. Oh, there's no real complaints other than, you know, there's some flavors that I know I'll enjoy more.
No, that's fair. That's fair. But it has to be a 10 for me. I just, like, I would devour this whole thing in 2 seconds.
Wow. Congrats.
Thank you for choosing churro.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it.
I don't think we would have had the same kind of joy with the strawberry shortcake cookie.
Oh, no. There was like some gelatinous stuff on top of it or whatever. Did you know that marshmallow is a plant? But not the marshmallows that they make for us. Like, that's lard or whatever. But there's a marshmallow plant that you can actually make marshmallows out of. And that, like, ancient, like, Egyptians, like, used to make, like, marshmallows out of the plant.
Are you serious?
I'm not messing with you.
Wait, so then what do we, like, what do we have?
Lard.
Fat?
Yes.
But marshmallows don't have a lot of fat.
Dude, that's such a great point. Time out one second. What is going on? Wait, so like...
I want to know about this plant.
No, because, yeah, there's a plant. But the thing is that it's just lard. Like, that's what they always say it is. It's just a bunch of, like, it's just fat. But how does it not have fat in it if it's fat?
It has 0.1 grams of fat.
We're going to get back to you on this. Maybe next week we can discuss the marshmallow plant a little bit more. Anyway, all right, well, thank you so much for tuning in to Rate That Crumble Cookie. We'll see you next week. All right. Woo! Wow, that was pretty hype.
I needed to like wake up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I'll tell you what, that crumble cookie's putting me in a coma right now. It's just like, I'm just like ready to knock out a little bit, or I'm cracked out, CJ. We're on the podcast right now. What the heck am I doing?
Wait, are we going?
Yeah, we're going.
Oh, hey.
Hey, guys. What's up? Thanks for being here for me and while me and Ben talk. man, I'm happy to be here right now.
Me too.
And I'm excited for today. I'm excited to have Ben here with me today. Yeah.
You know what's funny? I sent him... do you mind if I like introduce what we're talking about?
Oh, yeah. Go for it.
I sent him a reel the other day. And it was ultimately it was about somebody like and their health, ultimately. And like it was like kind of humorous, but at the same time, like it got me thinking about like the importance of caring for the body and like what the Bible says about it. And I was thinking, like, you know what, maybe the next time he asked me to do the podcast, that's what I'll talk about. And then literally the next day, you said, what's something that we could talk about on the podcast?
I like it.
And so that's why we're here.
I like it a ton. I honestly, something that obviously, so like Ben titled this, and I think we're going to rock with this title, Caring for the Body from a Biblical Perspective. And I feel like this really does need to be talked about.
I agree.
Because I see, dude, even like, honestly, even in Christianity, Something that is a little bit of a problem in Christianity is if you're really living for God, after you're done with a service, right? Let's say you have a service on a Wednesday night or on a Sunday night or whenever you have a service. It's late at night. The only thing Christian left to do at the end of a night like that, because like services, if you're in like a Holy Ghost movement, which if you're watching my podcast, I would assume that you're in some type of Holy Ghost like church or whatever.
Yeah.
And your services are getting out at 10, 11 o'clock sometimes. What is there left for me to do at 10, 11 or 11 o'clock? Yeah, maybe go to a friend's house or whatever and like hang out there. But like it's eat food. That's really ultimately what it is.
You're also going to be hungry.
And you're going to be hungry, right? And so what can end up happening is people can overeat, not take care of their body, not mind their diet. And then and so there's that from the Christian perspective. And then from a worldly perspective, I think something that frustrates the both of us is people blaming their weight on everything else other than their own personal responsibility.
Everything else. And like the reel that I was talking about was this lady. And that's basically exactly what she was doing. She was talking about how like basically like the doctor's going to tell her about all the health issues that she has and like just blame her weight without getting to like the root of the issue. And it's like, no, like if you're unhealthy and you're very overweight, the reason that you're unhealthy is because you're very overweight, and that's just it.
Right.
And like, you know, take some and like, I don't know. This is not meant to be like a condemning kind
we're
of
yelling
thing.
At you. We right. hate you. No, I'm just kidding. That's
but
not.
Like there needs to be some personal accountability.
Yes. No, absolutely. And I think that something to be said here, because some people, you know, perhaps if they heard this, and I don't really know if anyone that watches our podcast, like, it's not like we have like hundreds upon thousands of viewers, but like anyone yet. That does, yes, at some point we will. But, you know, as the ministry grows and expands, but, you know, what am I trying to say? I don't want people to perceive this as like, okay, what about people that maybe have had trauma in their life or whatever, and then food became a vice for them or whatever. Okay, yes, I understand that. But at the same time, it's kind of the same way as a young man that had trauma and then they grew up and they did something else that they shouldn't do. You know,
right.
They cheated on their wife or they did something else. You know, it still doesn't make it okay. It maybe makes us be able to understand why it happened. But we live in a society that people are hesitant to take responsibility for their actions. And they rather, instead of understanding, yeah, there might be a root to why I did this or a reason to as to why I did this, but just because there's a reason or a root behind it, you might say, doesn't mean that that makes my actions justifiable. In the same way that I'm trying to think, like a kid that was abused as a child then grows up and becomes a serial killer. Like, that doesn't make it okay that he became a serial killer. Obviously, two completely different classes of things, but nonetheless, the same.
Right. Like it's ultimately, in a lot of ways, if it's, you know, trauma-driven or just because it's how somebody views life and views the world, like, it's, for some people, like, they go to food to feel satisfied.
Right.
For some people, they'll go to, you know, an alcoholic beverage or a person or whatever the case may be. It's just something that somebody is trying to feel satisfied by, something that only God can satisfy.
That's right.
And they turn to different things. And food is one of those things that can, just the same way that like alcohol ultimately is very unhealthy for the body, food is also can also be very unhealthy for the body in a different way. But ultimately it's trying to fill a void that God needs to be the one to fill, that you need to find your satisfaction and your wholeness in God. That some people, they don't have God or they don't turn to God for it, and they ended up turning to other things.
Have you ever watched My 600 Pound Life?
I've not.
You would struggle to watch that show. I've seen that show a little bit, and something that I see that's very common in that show is what we are saying right now. Somebody experienced something. It led them to food becoming an addiction to them and actually a bondage. You know, this is a great way to segue this into the scriptures. Gluttony is a sin. All sin equally separates us from God, but different sins are ethically weighed differently. And I understand that. I get that. Ethically from and morally from our worldly standards and stuff. But ultimately, all sin separates us from God. And that's ultimately what sin is. Gluttony is a sin as much as drunkenness is a sin. It's they are all sins that separate us from God. And what happens is there's a bondage there. There's a bondage with sin. And so gluttony can become a bondage to some people where they're bound and they can find freedom in Christ. I believe that somebody can get free from a food addiction in the presence of the Lord, the same way that somebody could get free from an alcohol addiction or a drug addiction or whatever else it might be.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Because like, that's so true. Is it can really become like an addiction. Like people on My 600 Pound Life, ultimately, like they know that what they're doing isn't good for them, and they don't even necessarily want to do it. And that's basically addiction.
Right.
Like you know that it's not good. You don't want to do it, but you can't help it. Like you just find yourself there.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, dude. Go ahead and get started. Hop into your notes. Go ahead.
Well, the first thing that. I mean, we're talking about taking care of the body from a biblical perspective. Obviously, this is a Bible podcast, and we want to see what the Bible has to say about it. What does the Bible have to say about taking care of the body? Is it even important at all? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. I should have pulled up the scriptures, but I haven't.
This is actually the first scripture I had written down as well in my notes, so that's great.
19 through 20. Is it just 19?
19 and 20.
1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. I think that is like, before anything else, that understanding will fix so much.
Yeah.
That understanding that, hey, like the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. And this body doesn't belong to me. The Bible says that we've been bought with a price. So we're to glorify God with our bodies. It's not ultimately up to me what I do with my body. Like it, yes, I steward it and God's given it to us to steward, but it belongs to God. Its purpose is supposed to be to glorify God. And with that understanding at the forefront, it becomes so much easier to do everything that ultimately is going to be healthy for this body.
That's right. And you know, to add to that, this text fixes a lot of issues. In context, Paul is talking about sexual sin and he's talking about like living pure sexually, but the principle still remains the same. Your body is actually not your own. Your body is actually Christ. Right. This is why, and I know that, you know, some people would not like this, but it's biblical, so it doesn't matter. That's why the whole my body, my choice movement is to justify abortions is actually not a correct way to looking at it. It's actually, yes, it's my body that God has given to me. And yes, I have to steward it, as Ben said. However, that does not give me license to then do something that is against God's word, to take a life that he has put on the inside of me. That doesn't justify it because my body ultimately belongs to the Lord. And since I have the job to steward my body that belongs to the Lord.
Yeah.
So that's a great text to kind of like kick things off and get everybody to understand that.
Yeah. Just a few more scriptures on that. A few verses earlier or a few chapters earlier in 1 Corinthians 6. That was also 1 Corinthians 6, right? It was.
First Corinthians 6:13.
The Bible says, food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. Ultimately, eventually everything is going to be, you know, done away with.
Right.
The body is not meant for sexual immorality. Like Pastor Joey said, this is in the context of sexual immorality. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord and the Lord for the body. These bodies, the reason, you know, the Bible calls us the body of Christ. With these bodies, we're supposed to go and to do things that are honoring to the Lord, to work the works of Christ, to do the will of God on the earth. And so we have to, with the understanding that this isn't like, ultimately, this body doesn't belong to me. This body was created to honor God.
Yes.
I'm supposed to give it to the Lord.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about this too. You know, we're supposed to go into the earth and bring the good news to everybody. And that's our responsibility and duty as Christians, is to do that. I can't do that if I'm sick. I can't do that if my body's not in good in condition it needs to be. And I can't do it for as long as God wants me to do it, right, because my life is going to be cut short. So many people blame God for sickness and for people dying prematurely. And in, there's a that's a whole nother topic. It's never God's will that somebody die young. It's never God's will that anybody be sick. And we know that. And that's in the scriptures. And if you've been watching this podcast or following this ministry, you know that we never teach that. But the reality is that many times people put themselves in these health conditions in which they are not okay. You know, they're 350 pounds or they're significantly overweight and they have high cholesterol. They have all these different types of health problems. And they go, well, I just don't understand why God is allowing me to have this happen. It has nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with a lack of submission from my body as belonging to the Lord. Because that's really what it is. It's a lack of submission on our part, realizing that our body belongs to Christ and not to ourselves.
Right. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says it pretty plainly. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Again, the understanding that this body ought to be offered up to the Lord. To God, I'm going to go and do what you've called me to do, fulfill the purpose that you've called me to do with this body. And I want to steward it well so that I can do it well and so that I can do it for a long time. Until that purpose has been, you know, completed.
Amen.
Cool. So that's a great foundation and a great understanding that these bodies actually exist for the Lord and that we're supposed to honor him with it. How should we take care of our bodies? How should we take care of our bodies? What does the Bible say? You care where we start?
No.
Okay.
No.
How should we take care of our bodies? I love this scripture. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I happen to really like the 4:8. I really like James 4:8.
Yeah, that's true.
If you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. And I really like this scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians 4:8 is another great one.
Yeah.
The Bible says, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life that is to come. What is one way that we should take care of our bodies? One way that we should take care of our bodies is with physical exercise and being active. This scripture clearly says, and the most important takeaway from this scripture is that godliness is more valuable than physical health. Spiritual health is more valuable than things of the physical. Yes, we ought to make sure that our spiritual lives are stronger and our spiritual relationship with the Lord is stronger before anything else. That takes priority over anything. But the Bible does clearly say that bodily training is of some value, that there is a value in taking care of your body, in exercising, in going on walks, in just being active and not sitting around.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so great. The Bible is such a balanced book because the Bible is the Word of God. God is balanced. He doesn't go to one extreme or the other in the sense of our lifestyle and stuff like that. And it's so important to understand that, okay, I can't be so much saying that I'm, being godly and stuff like that, so I don't have time to exercise, because those things are in contradiction to each other, because I also need to be taking care of my body as well. I need to find time to be able to create exercise for myself. But also, I can't go to the other extreme and sacrifice my spirituality and my relationship with God for the gym. Right. So both of those things have to find the healthy balance. And as you've pointed out, godliness should be a higher priority and the thing that I value more. For someone like me, I have a lot going on with different things and, leading the ministry and being married and having a family. But if I want to effectively do those things, I also need to be mindful of the things I consume, which I know we're going to get there, and also mindful of my exercise to the best of my ability, going to the gym. What is it really going to hurt you to find 45 minutes, or an hour a couple times a week to go into a gym and just lift some weights. Like what?
Yeah.
Like we watch Netflix for how long and Max and all these, you know, different, you know, things, sports games for all these hours.
Right.
What's 45 minutes to an hour in a day, in a couple days a week to be able to go work out? Right.
Right. And it totally is a balance. Like in the same way that, you know, whatever that exercising is important. We're going to talk about it in a minute too, but like rest or something like watching a sports game. Like that's good too. Like there's nothing wrong with that. But again, it has to be the balance and always with the priority staying, you know, with keeping your relationship with God at the forefront. A great example, is like of this scripture, I think is like at the beginning of the year, we do a 21-day fast.
Yes.
The church globally does a 21-day fast. And that is, if you were looking at it from a purely physical perspective, like I don't know, if you were trying to build muscle and like get bigger, doing a 21-day fast does not make sense. But we do it. Why? Because we're prioritizing putting God first in the start of our year. We're prioritizing godliness, like the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:8, above physical training.
And the great thing about that too is ultimately there can be some people who are bodybuilders who are extremely unhealthy. And they're in really great shape and all that stuff, but their gut has a bunch of buildup in it and all that type of stuff. Fasting, actually, medically speaking, God commands us to do it spiritually. And how many of you guys know when God tells us to do something, there's usually a benefit for his people to it. Fasting, actually, what it does is it gets rid of that garbage that's in your stomach and all that stuff, and it cleans yourself out. And so there's actually a benefit to it, but something I wanted to point out that you said, I wrote this scripture down in 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19. But it's really 1 Timothy 6:19 that really says it. But it says that,
Let me read it.
Where is it? There, verse 17. It says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainties of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Again, we have such a balanced scripture.
Yeah.
Yes, God wants to bless us. Yes, all that stuff. We can't become arrogant and prideful in our own money and what we have. But understand that God does give us everything richly to enjoy. So working out, watching TV, doing all that stuff. There's a balance in doing all of those things. There's a balance to, you know, Ben, I know once a week, you know, when he's cutting, you know, on a Sunday, like, you know, he'll eat something that he really likes and stuff. And there's nothing wrong with, I mean, we just did Rate That Crumble cookie and stuff like that. There's nothing wrong. And granted, we take a bite of that cookie. We don't eat the entire thing. We just gave it to somebody else. We didn't want the whole thing. But there was a balance to trying and eating some things that maybe aren't the best and doing some things that are more going to help you rest and relax and also, you know, working out and exercising.
Yeah, absolutely. The balance is so important. You ultimately can't go too far one way or the other. You can go too far one way or the other, and then it just begins to be unhealthy in a different way.
Absolutely.
And so striking the balance, finding the balance is super, super important. But exercising, and practically, it doesn't have to be 3 hours in the gym 7 days a week. Like practically, especially, you know, at the start, it can just be like going on a walk, going on a hike, like just starting, getting yourself in the rhythm of doing something for your physical body.
Walking around
in
golf.
Yeah, sure. Doing a round of golf instead of getting a cart, just walk that thing. but doing something, you know, for your physical health that will ultimately be for your benefit.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, like I personally would be unable to do 3 hours in the gym every day for 7 days, but I can do 45 minutes to an hour, which is what I said earlier, a couple times a week. And that's what I do.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I used to do 3 hours, and I can tell you a lot of it was a waste of time. Not necessarily that like the things that I was doing was a waste of time, but like in between taking a whatever, you don't need to do it. You don't need to be in the gym for 3 hours, especially if you're not used to being in the gym for a long time. Like, just start out with something, and it'll be good for you.
You know, something that I refuse to do, dude, is like, I can't be that pastor that gets up and preaches the word of God and like talks about living a holy life before the Lord while I'm sitting there with evidence that I am in error in somewhere in God's word where I'm like way overweight and I'm just standing up there preaching about living a holy and godly life and stuff like that. And there I am with like a massively overweight and completely out of shape. Like I just can't do that. You know what I mean? Like I can't find myself doing that. So this is another reason why this is important to me. If you're called to the ministry, like look good, you know. I told Ben before that I wanted to hit on this. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 16:17, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. We learn two things from the scripture. First off, God cares more about your heart than he does anything else. That's the first thing God cares about. However, we also find out that man looks at the outward appearance. Whether that's right, wrong, whatever, men do it. People look at your outward appearance. Yeah. When I get up and preach in front of a group of students, if I look like a bum wearing sweatpants, shorts and Crocs and a t-shirt, I look like an idiot. Like people are gonna not take me as seriously because they're looking at me on the outward appearance. In the same way, I want my physical appearance to be one that is not something that people go, oh my gosh, this guy is grossly obese and out of shape.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's good.
Just being real.
Yeah. Quick, like one more little thing practically. I know that I've recently done this like way more. And I know that you do this when you're in the gym. You can also, a great thing to do, like make a combo. Like if you're doing something practically, like for your physical health, you can do that while also doing something that'll be good for you spiritually. Yeah. One thing, like I'll listen to teachings or sermons or whatever when I'm in the gym. If you're going on a walk, maybe you can just, while you're on the walk, just start talking to the Lord, whatever the case may be, or listen to sermons or whatever. That's a great thing to do too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's one. Another one that I had on here, how we should take care of our bodies, what the Bible says, proper rest. Proper rest is really, really important. Mm. We hit on that, I guess, a tiny bit with like taking time to like, you know, do things that are enjoyable. Like if you want to watch, you know, a sports game or something like that. But the Bible says this in Exodus 23:12. It says, 6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may have rest, and that the son of your servant woman and the alien may be refreshed. Rest, proper rest is something that, again, the Bible's so great because it's balanced and it's practical. God, you know, God hasn't instructed us to just work and 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 never take any rest. We get physically tired. Like that is something that happens. And so with that, and God, you know, obviously created us and knows how we are, we have to take time to have proper rest. You know, get more than 4 hours of sleep every night. I think that the recommended is somewhere around 7 to 8 for most people. 7 to 8 hours. I know that for me, if I don't get like just about 8 hours of sleep, I'll be dragging the next day. Like getting proper rest is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I honestly think that this is something that we have to realize, like in life, I've heard people say things like, you know, like I've heard people say things like, oh, like you don't need to get any sleep or whatever. Like it's not that big of a deal, like to do all that stuff. And I've even heard people in the ministry almost tell people that are young in the ministry, like, hey, like, you know, you shouldn't like sleep and stuff like that. Like you should be busy at work for God and stuff. And I don't agree with that. And the reason why I don't agree with that is because it's not the pattern of God from Genesis to Revelation. It's not. You won't find it in the scriptures. The pattern of God is rest. Yes, we find our rest in him every single day. But God periodically and regularly throughout the scriptures is pointing people and calling people to rest. And so for me, like it is important for me that I get enough sleep at night. It is important for me that I find time to be able to rest. Why? So I can be more effective during the times that I am working and then work extra hard for the Lord during those times. Am I saying that there may be some times where we're working hard for the Lord and maybe we'll be a little bit sleep deprived for a couple days here and there? Talk to me and Ben. We know all about that, especially during our conferences and during our retreats. We get it. Sometimes, yeah, you're doing something for the Lord, and you're only going to get 4 hours of sleep in the night or whatever for a couple of days, but that should not be the regular rhythm of your life doing right. that type of things. There should be, like, I know after heat wave, like that Sunday after heat wave, like after church, like I'm just resting the entire afternoon. Why? Because yeah. I'm catching up on all of that, you know, work that I was doing, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Again, it's the balance. Like you have to be able to, you know, you have to find the balance, because if you're all rest and no work, that's no good.
Right.
But if you're all work and no rest, then eventually, like, that's no good either, because the work is going to be less effective.
Absolutely.
And again, like a practical thing.
I want to add this in there. Scientifically, here's the thing. I believe that the Bible and science line up because they have the same creator. God created science. Yeah. You know, people say, well, you know, the Bible doesn't line up with science. Yes, it does. The Bible does line up with true science and true study, because everything in the Bible is true. So to that point, scientifically, it is unhealthy to not get a lot of sleep, and it's damaging to your body in so many different health ways. And I know that something that when I went like on a major like health, like weight loss, like thing when I was in school. And one of the things my trainer told me is you need to make sure you're getting enough sleep so that your body can properly lose weight. And when I heard that, I was like, wow, like, yes, like God actually, like when he says things, he designs it, and he designs it to be that way. And scientifically, we can prove that it even is true what God commands and says.
Yeah. You need it. It's something that you need, proper rest. I thought of, you know, this account in 1 Kings 19.
Yeah.
Right after Elijah went up against the prophets of Baal, and then Jezebel said basically that she was going to kill him, and Elijah was freaking out. He was freaking out, and he said in verse 4, he said to the Lord, he said, "It's enough now, Lord, take away my life. I'm no better than my fathers." He was basically done. He was like, "I want to die. I'm done." And the Lord is so great. He instructed him to take a nap and eat some food.
That's right.
And then Elijah got up, and he was way better. And everything That's was, right. was going to be okay. Practically, sometimes we just need to get some rest and eat some food.
Absolutely.
Cool. Last one that I have, how should we take care of our bodies? Eating healthy. Pastor Joey referenced gluttony. The Bible talks about gluttony. Proverbs chapter 23 says not to be among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat. But gluttonous eaters, gluttony, and we have to be very careful about the things that we consume. We have to be, I'll say it like this. We have to be mindful about the things that we consume. We should be aware of the food that we're eating, like to an extent, what's in it, what are the ingredients, like, and also I wanted to say this, like a couple points. This is coming from somebody, you know, it's been widely, you know, said on this podcast before. This is coming from somebody that used to be overweight, like pretty bad. I was 250 pounds. And one thing that, like, as I look back on that, that blew my mind is I just didn't know. Like, I don't know how I didn't know, but like the foods that I was eating, the drinks that I were drinking, I like had no like awareness of how unhealthy they were for me and how bad they were for me. Huh?
To prophesy.
How bad they were for me. Like the Bible says in Hosea 4:6, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Maybe a lot of this stuff you're hearing maybe for the first time, and it's stuff that you can put into practice and it'll be good for you. But it's important to be mindful of the things that we're taking in. We can't just, you know, sit there and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and never exercise. It's not going to turn out well. We have to be aware of the things that we're eating. Eat healthy foods. Read a nutrition label. Understand the things that are going. Think about it like that. You wouldn't like just put like whatever in your car.
Right.
Like you wouldn't put like, I don't know, soda. You wouldn't just dump a 2 liter of soda in your gas tank and expect your car to run well. This is, again, the temple of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
These are our bodies. We should be aware and mindful of the things that we're putting into our bodies.
Absolutely. You know, something that you said is like, you know, read the nutrition facts. Like, you know, it's amazing to me how people can pick something up at the grocery store and not look. And now the only time that I would think that, okay, maybe I go shopping And you honestly, bro, if you ever went shopping with me, like the only exception to a time that most things in my cart would not be healthy is if like it was like a night of the week that me and my wife were gonna watch a movie and like I grabbed like a thing of candy or a thing of chips or something like that. But like most of the stuff in my cart is healthy. And then, yeah, I grab like a thing of Oreos or whatever. And that's one thing I go in. I already know it's bad for me. I already know it's not good. But the reality is that like, I even still like take a little peek at that, at nutrition facts. Like when I pick something up to eat it, I want to know like, okay, how many cookies is this? Like I do trade-offs. Okay. I know I'm about to eat something unhealthy. Do I want to eat four Oreos for, I think it's like 130 calories or three Oreos, like 130 calories.
Like 160.
And, or do I want to have a cup of cereal for 130 calories right. And it's more food and content. You know, I'll usually go with the cereal, like just doing stuff like that. Being conscious of what you're consuming. Like, I could have downed that entire crumble cookie, but to be honest with you, I just don't really want to get my calories. I don't want to get 800 of my calories, 900 of my calories for the day from a cookie.
Yeah.
That's going to make me crave more sugar later and make me not feel as good.
Think about that. Like, and again, it's a reoccurring theme. It is a balance because you're going to have, you know, a night where you're going to watch a movie and you'll have a couple Oreos. Cool. Don't have the whole container.
And like, don't do it like every day every of the night. Week.
Yeah. But what was I going to say? Oh, a lot of people don't even like a lot of people don't even think about it. And like that's why I think that this is so important is like just to like put some light on it. Like the average person, they say, should eat. Whatever. The average person, the average adult, I guess, they say should eat 2,000 calories a day. If Pastor Joey or I had that entire crumble cookie, bye-bye to half of our calories.
Yeah.
And again, or also, not half of our, you know, good calories, nope. Not half of, you know, a good amount of protein and some healthy fat and some healthy carbs. How about just like, you know, probably like 80 to 100 easily grams of sugar and just fat and not good.
Go get a watermelon.
Sure.
Watermelon is such a cheat code. You can eat so much of it and it's like no calories and you feel filled and full after you're done eating it.
A lot of foods like that.
You can eat like 120. If you ate 120 calories of watermelon and you told me that you were craving a sweet, eat 120 calories worth of watermelon. Tell me you're still craving a sweet. Like it's like it's just one of those things. Like even my wife, we make really good like cookies that are healthy.
Right.
She makes them, she does pumpkin, oats, honey, and chocolate chips in it. And she'll put it in, and like not like a ton of chocolate chips, which by the way, chocolate chips, not a chocolate bar, chocolate chips are considered a whole ingredient. I don't know, they're considered sure. There's like, have you ever heard of like ingredient households? They only have things that are an ingredient in something mm-hmm. that, anyway, it's like an ingredient household thing to have chocolate chips because it's simply just cocoa and sugar. It's like two natural things together. She'll put like maybe like, I don't know, like 5 teaspoons of chocolate chips in the mix and she'll mix it together. And the cookies come out to be like 100 calories a cookie or something like that. And it's all wholesome ingredients and stuff like that. Why not do that instead of making a 300 calorie chocolate chip cookie? Why not?
Amen.
It's great.
It is.
Dude, she has some at home. You gotta have some today. They're really good.
Happily. And even like, you know, I'm going into the phase of my year where I'm going to try to put some more weight on, where I'm going to try to eat some more.
Yeah,
I'm not just going to eat whatever, whenever. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to feel good doing that. I want to eat more good food instead of a little bit less good food.
It's my recommendation, even though we're talking about all these things, to go to Taco Bell.
Are you kidding?
I just wanted to see his reaction. I'm sorry. I just wanted like to see your reaction.
Everything we just talked about.
Dude, Taco Bell is actually kind of low calorie.
I'll say this too, because he brought it up. You know, they make healthy cookies with good ingredients. Especially in America, and we've talked about this before, not, you know, whatever. But we've talked about this before. Be mindful of the ingredients that you're eating. Be mindful of the things that are in your food. And you know, maybe, you know, all right, great. You want a taco? Wonderful. Go get stuff to make a taco, dude, instead of going and eating whatever that is.
It's a balance. Bro, I mess with some Taco Bell sometimes. I do. I mess with it. But I'll tell you what, something that has really helped me, like actual, is when you're a real Christian and you like actually fast, it is so helpful because it helps you like you're just auto gonna consume less calories throughout your week because you're fasting. Like if you fast like one day a week as a Christian, like you fast like morning till evening, one day a week as a Christian, you're automatically cutting out like probs like 1500 calories out of that day. Cause then you're going to eat a meal at night or whatever. You're probably cutting out like 1500 calories out of your day.
Yeah.
And so it just puts you in such a better place. Like just doing what the Bible says just puts you in a better place in every single area of your life. And that includes your health. And you know, while I, you know, eat like Taco Bell, I don't eat Taco Bell every single day. I don't eat fast food every single day. I don't do that type of thing. Me and my wife, like we do make tacos at home and stuff like that. We buy 93% lean ground beef.
I know. I just think you could do it one more time instead of going to Taco Bell.
All right, bro. No, I understand. It is Taco Bell is something that is so sweet.
It would make me so sad if the first sponsor of the podcast was Taco Bell.
I feel like our chances of it being Chick-fil-A are pretty would be much higher.
I would love that.
Why are we talking about this?
I don't know. One like last quick thing about like ingredients. That is and I believe this. That is why that's a main reason why we should pray over our food. Ask the Lord to bless it, cuz like sometimes in the United States, like it's hard to avoid certain bad ingredients. And so it's good to bless your food.
Yeah.
Ask the Lord to bless it to your body.
Don't even get me started on the FDA. Like
we don't need to.
Yeah. I'm not going to go there. Not going to go there. I think they've heard it enough on the podcast. For this.
I think they have to
eat healthy.
Yeah.
To have a healthy lifestyle. You know, something that I stopped saying is I've stopped saying that I'm going on a diet. Cause it's not. What it is for me is I have a certain lifestyle in which I live. And that's really what it is. Like I like am like, okay, like, you know, I'll go on vacation and a part of my lifestyle is when I'm on vacation, I don't really care as much. But then when I come home, I'm back to a normal lifestyle of like eating, like when we were in Pennsylvania,
yeah.
Like I was not like caring about all that stuff. But then when I came home, I didn't continue that. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's just a part of my lifestyle. It's not like, oh, when I go home, I'm going to go back on my diet. I'm just going to continue to live my lifestyle the way that I've been living it.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. This was powerful.
Find the balance. And take care of your body.
Do it. Thank you so much for listening to Caring for the Body from a Biblical Perspective with health expert Ben Stanley.
I'm certainly not.
Dude, have you seen this guy? Ben is a very physically fit specimen.
Well, I have to be because he keeps using me in sermon illustrations. So,
oh man. Well, guys, for real, thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope that this helped you, and I hope that this even gave you biblical evidence as to why there actually like there is a case for health and fitness even founded in the scriptures. So, amen. I hope that blessed you, and I thank you guys for tuning in, and I thank Ben for being on here with me today. And I will see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We hope you were blessed and encouraged by the teaching today. If you are between the grades of 5th through 12th grade, make sure to check us out in person at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Be sure to tune in next week for another weekly podcast from Uncanceled. God bless.